Lights went out. I guess I'm on. So good morning. Actually, I guess it's afternoon now. Welcome, everyone. Hopefully, you're having a great conference here. It's my second year in Basel with our Systems Center Universe, and certainly enjoyed the time. Weather's certainly better today. So my name is Wally Mead. I'm a Principal Program Manager at Cyrus Incorporation. But the reason I'm talking about Configuration Manager vNext is that I came from Microsoft after 22 years there, and I was in the Configuration Manager product group for quite a number of those years, and been working with Configuration Manager ever since before it was called SMS 1.0. So been around for a long time. And what I want to talk about this morning or this afternoon to you all is what's coming in the next major release of Configuration Manager, which right now they're calling Configuration Manager vNext. So my agenda for today, I'll do a couple of quick slides on who Cyrus is, just to give you some information there. But then delving into the meat of the content, we're going to talk about what's coming in that next major release of Configuration Manager. Right now, there's no announced product name. So if you've heard Configuration Manager 2016 or anything else, it's all rumors at this point in time. As of right now, it's still just referred to as Configuration Manager vNext. So vNext means whatever the next major release is after the 2012 releases that's out there now. So we'll look at what's available in the current technical preview releases that are out there. I'll talk about that. I'll talk about a couple of things that I know of that's been announced that will be available in the RTM release of the product or some later release than what's available today. And then we'll talk about how do you get to Configuration Manager vNext from where you are today, either on 2007 or on the 2012 platform. So first off, a couple of slides on Cyrus, who we are. We're a company that's based all around System Center. So we started around Service Manager. We've gotten into all the rest of the System Center products, including Configuration Manager, helping you be successful with System Center. The five pillars that we have in our company, are the first three are really product areas. Service Management, providing some additional end-user capabilities around Service Manager with a self-service portal and better knowledge base articles and so on, and a lot of other apps. Asset Management, which is one I'm very excited about, allows you to take that great data that Configuration Manager provides as far as your assets, but just doesn't take it far enough for you, and allows you to add financial, contractual, business, and technical data to associate with your hardware and software assets so you can really do that life cycle management of those assets. The Identity Management stream is a new stream for us, and later on this afternoon, Chris and I will be doing a presentation on the first app in that stream, which is Password Reset for Active Directory. So it'll be some new applications coming out in the future related to identity management, and the first one is that Password Reset thing we'll talk about. We do have a consulting services branch, which revolves around installation and implementation of our technologies, although we can do System Center stuff as well as necessary. And lastly is the partner and customer and community enablement team, which is what I'm technically part of. We out there trying to help our customers as well as our partners be successful with our products through training, through education, through lab development, and so on. Just real quickly with the product areas that we have, we sit on top of System Center, as you just heard. So we're a System Center-based company, and as far as the System Center stuff goes, we don't care whether you're on-premise implementation of System Center or you're in an environment where you're sitting up in the cloud. It doesn't matter to us at all. Our products work equally as well in the cloud as they do in an on-premise environment. And obviously, we sit on top of System Center, so all of our technologies, with the exception of the one Chris and I are going to talk about today, which is the Password Reset for Active Directory, they're all based on System Center. The password reset code has absolutely nothing to do with System Center. Anybody could utilize it that has an Active Directory environment, and we'll talk about that later on today. So just real quickly, our platform. Again, the service management gives you a web-based portal for a lot of end users as well as analysts to interact with service manager data without utilizing its console. Asset management's to give you that added benefit beyond what ConfigMan gives you for asset tracking and lifecycle management. And then Essentials Management kind of fills in some of the gaps in the Service Manager console for administrators. Some cool little apps and utilities to help make Service Manager work a little bit better. Identity Management Stream, which is the Password Reset application, is brand new for us. It just launched last Monday, so just over a week ago. and service automation we'll have coming out with connectors, a TFS and project, and some additional things to put in the portal to help automate some of the workflows that you want to have. Another thing that we're kind of known for is the free apps. So we have a number of free apps out there, a half dozen of them. One I'm really excited about is called the Remote Manage app. And the Remote Manage app, and it's too dark, I won't be able to see your guys' hands, so I won't ask you, but Remote Manage app is something that every single configuration manager shop should have. It's a free app, and it allows you to have your help desk people support your end users accessing Configuration Manager data without having to utilize the Configuration Manager console. So it's a great utility to keep your guys out of the ConfigMan console. They can still drop computers in collections. They can still look at Software Center. They can look at the client logs. They can initiate some of those client activities. They can start processes, end processes, reset computers, look at their patch status, and so on. So a lot of great things you can do in this free app. So you can just go to Cyrusson.com, go to the Cyrusson store, and then register for and download the Remote Manage app and start plunking away with them ConfigMan. And this app. And hopefully I'm trying to get Cyrusson to do a lot more in the configuration manager space. Okay, so that's who we are. Now let's jump into the real meat of our content, which is what's coming in the next major release of configuration manager. So these next couple of slides I have are all high-level bullet points on what's available today in the technical preview releases of configuration manager. So the product group has released three different technical previews. One of them was in May. They released it during Microsoft Ignite back in early May, and it was kind of bare bones. Here's a quick look at what's coming in the product. Then a couple months later, in July, they released an addition, Technical Preview 2, added some more capabilities, and just last week, they released Technical Preview 3. And that's what I'll be demonstrating for you today is what's in TP3. So these couple of slides and most of the rest of the slides are all on what's available today in the product as of Technical Preview 3. So anybody can go download TP3 and install it in your labs. You cannot upgrade to any of the technical previews from your current product, nor can you upgrade from the technical previews to the next release. So this is purely a standalone install, no hierarchies, no CAS, no secondary sites, only a standalone primary. You're limited, it's like a 60-day time bomb, and it only supports 10 clients at a time. But it's there to get you a quick look at some of these features so you can start playing around with them. So real quickly, high level, I got detailed slides in these that I'll go through. Support for Windows 10. Yes, you get support for Windows 10 in the current releases of Config Manager, the 2012 SP2 platform, as well as the 2012 R2 SP1 platform. But building upon that can give you better support for Windows 10. Support for Microsoft Azure. So the ability of hosting your entire infrastructure in Azure or mixing it between on-premise and Azure. Client deployment status in console monitoring. And I'll explain what that is, but better ability for you to pre-test your client deployments, as well as what the status is of those. Preferred management points, the ability of now locking clients into management points just like you can with distribution points. So clients will pick an MP that's best for them based on their location. Lots of stuff in operating system deployment that I'll go through in your slides, but a lot of cool things to help. What I like to say, save your job, because there's a lot of danger in OSD if you don't do things properly, you could have to go out there and work on updating your resume by re-imaging your CEO's laptop or something. On-premise mobile device management. So if you want to do mobile device management, but you don't want to go to the cloud to do so, you can now manage your mobile devices through on-premise solution as opposed to having to go through Microsoft Intune. Bunch of updates for mobile devices to try and get the what's called the hybrid or integrated Microsoft Intune and ConfigMan scenario on par with the standalone Microsoft Intune cloud-based solution. So trying to get those two up to date. And then all those were things that were in the first technical preview, and now in the last couple of technical previews over the past month and a half, they've added some more features for you. Sideloading of apps for Windows 10. So the ability of installing apps that aren't through a store. You can do that today for your other app platforms, but now through Windows 10. Windows PE Pure Cache, really exciting feature to allow you to get content through WinPE without having to go to a distribution point. Some additional support for on-premise mobile devices, including Windows 10 desktops instead of just Windows 10 mobile devices. bulk enrollment of Windows 10 devices. So allow you to do bulk enrollment instead of having to have individual users go in there and enroll their Windows 10 devices. Multiple deployments for automatic deployment rules. Right now you're limited to a single deployment per ADR. Now you can have multiple different deployments in an ADR scenario. Cluster-aware patch management. So the ability of managing clustered environments and controlling the patch sequence and how many of your nodes in those clusters can be taken down and passed at any one point in time. Support for SQL Server always-on availability groups, which has been a request for a long period of time, and now it's coming. And then some additional things in Windows 10 feature support. Okay, I'll dive into all those. First off, a couple of general notes. This is not going to impact anybody here, and for the most part, the vast majority of customers worldwide. However, a single primary site will now be able to support 200,000 clients. In the current version of the product, or the most recent one, it was 100,000 clients. Actually, in the most current release of Service Pack 2 and R2 Service Pack 1, they did bump that up to, I think it was 150,000 there. They did bump that up again. But again, for the most part, worldwide, most people don't need that scalability. There are a handful of customers that are well above 600,000 clients. A unified portal experience. What that means is one of the big complaints in ConfigMan 2012 today is that sometimes your end users go to Software Center to look at application stuff. Sometimes they have to go to Application Catalog for some stuff. And then if you start in the Application Catalog, sometimes you have to switch over to Software Center to find some stuff. So you can't do everything in a single portal. Now you're going to have a combined user interface. There'll be one portal for your end users to go to that will combine Software Center and Application Catalog. It's not there today in the technical preview, at least if it is, it's hidden, I've not seen it, but it will be there in the product. Now, one caveat there is if anybody is using the company portal, so Microsoft has a company portal which is used for mobile device management, that's kind of your application catalog for mobile devices, they did release a version of the company portal for Windows 8 and later devices. If you're using that as your portal instead of the application catalog for your Windows 8 clients, that's not combined with these other two, so company portal is still separate. And one of the cool things is they're now enhancing their security features of the product, so now you can put security scope assignments on top of endpoint protection anti-malware policies. Before you couldn't. Any admin can see any anti-malware policies you have. Now you'll be able to scope those down to your server guys versus your desktop guys. Okay, how to get there? So before we jump into the individual features, just to give you a little highlight on how you'll be able to get to the vNext release when it does become available. Today, again, with the technical previews, it's a pure stand up environment. You can't upgrade to it. You can't migrate to it. You have to stand up a brand new environment in your lab and install whatever technical preview you want to play with. And you can't upgrade to it. You have to wipe that out and install the next one when it comes out. However, when the product does release, which Microsoft has said will be by the end of this calendar year, so in the next few months, it's supposed to release vNext, you will be able to perform an in-place upgrade from ConfigMan 2012 SP2 or ConfigMan 2012 R2 SP1. So you will be able to do an in-place upgrade. Very, very easy. If you went to my talk yesterday, at the same time on upgrading to R2 SP1, the procedure I showed you there will be the exact same procedure you'll follow to upgrade to vNext from your current versions of Configuration Manager. You won't have to do a side-by-side migration to get from 2012 to vNext like you had to do from 2007 to 2012. You had to do a side-by-side migration or a wipe and load. You will be able to do an in-place upgrade like you are for the R2 SP1 or 2012 SP2. You will still have to migrate if you're on ConfigMan 2007. So there is no in-place upgrade from ConfigMan 2007. So yesterday I asked, and there was one guy in my session that was still in 2007. So if you're still there, you'll have to do a side-by-side migration, just like you'd have to do today to go to 2012. Interestingly, however, you will not be supported to migrate from ConfigMan 2012 to ConfigMan vNext. So if you are on one of the 2012 platforms and you want to do a side-by-side migration to vNext, you won't be able to do that. What you would have to do is stand up a brand new vNext environment and then upgrade your current environment to vNext, and then you can do a migration between the two, like if you want to swap hardware and so on. But you can only migrate from 2007 to vNext or vNext to vNext. You won't be able to go from 2012 to vNext with a migration. There you do the in-place upgrade. Now, one of the cool things is the bottom portion of the slide. Once you're on vNext, the product group hope is that there'll be no more service packs or many fewer service packs to have to upgrade to, because they know that upgrading to service packs is kind of a hard thing for you to do. You gotta schedule downtime, you gotta put in change requests, you gotta update your infrastructure, a lot of things you have to do, then you gotta upgrade all your clients. So what they're going to do in the future is have something very familiar to or similar to the Microsoft Intune extensions feature. So that in the current product allows you to download updates for mobile devices dynamically from the cloud into your on-premise infrastructure. You then state, yes, I want this, or no, I don't want this. The ones you want, you install, and they install dynamically for you. So you do the same thing to update your ConfigMan installation. It'll be through this online service type scenario. So you will have to have a connection to the internet if you want to use this online servicing. Otherwise, you'll have to wait for appropriate service packs to get caught up. Okay, now with that said, let's go ahead and jump into what some of these individual features are. What I'm going to do is I'm going to wait and do all my demos at the end because I want to get through all the slides. So I give you all the content first, and then with whatever time I have left over, I'll just demonstrate as much as I can with whatever we have. Now, I guess the nice thing is I'm the only thing standing between you and lunch. So if people want to hang out later during the lunchtime and go through more stuff, I'm more than willing to do that. But anyway, support for Windows 10. So one of the biggest reasons for ConfigMan 2012 SP2 and 2012 R2 SP1 was to give you that initial Windows 10 integration support. And vNext is going to take what's there in the current platforms and expand beyond it. So support for all the Configuration Manager client features on Windows 10. Full OSD support. You have OSD support today in 2012 SP2 as well as 2012 R2 SP1. But it's not full support. You can do a fresh install or replacement of your current OS to Windows 10. You can download some scripts and some extra code to do an in-place upgrade, but it's not native in the product. So you have native capabilities of in-place upgrade for Windows 7 up to Windows 10 built into the product. Application deployment support, so you'll be able to deploy applications to Windows 10 with application requirement rules for Windows 10 as an operating system, as well as program platforms if you're still doing programs and packages and programs, be able to designate Windows 10 as a supported platform there. And support for Windows Defender, so you can use Windows Defender and manage it through Configuration Manager. This is a very cool feature here and very exciting one for a lot of customers in that the rest of System Center all supports Azure as a hosted scenario. Configuration Manager today has very limited support, and it doesn't cross over really between the on-premise environment and Microsoft Azure other than being able to have an on-prem Config Manager environment and supporting Azure clients. But if you put a ConfigMan installation in Azure, it's a single server, and it only supports Azure-based hosts. Now with vNext, they're going to support Azure fully. So you can have a mixture of on-premise Azure or on-premise site systems and Azure-based site systems, or vice versa. Your primary site could be in Azure, and secondary sites or other site systems could be on-premise. Clients could be intermixed between on-premise and Azure-based, as well as mobile device support. So all the different scenarios that you'd want for Microsoft Azure support for Config Manager are supposed to be supported in the vNext release. So that's very, very exciting for a lot of customers. Client deployment monitoring. This is one of the cool things that I really like. So there's a feature in the product today called automatic client upgrades. And I showed it yesterday if you went to my upgrade session, and some of you probably are using it today. And that's carried through into the vNext product. But what's really cool in the vNext product is that you're going to be able to designate a custom collection as a pre-production collection. And then you can turn on automatic client upgrade for that pre-production collection. So now you can test out the automatic client update feature to a designated collection, And then you have in-console monitoring to be able to view to see what the status is of your production client deployments as well as your pre-production client deployment. And then once you've validated that the pre-production client deployment is going well, it all upgraded fine, and all your features work, you can now just hit a button called promote. It'll promote that pre-production set of client bits up to your full client bits, your production bits, and then turn on automatic client upgrade for everybody else. So very, very cool way for you. Internally, they were calling it client piloting. So they'd be able to pilot new client upgrades. Now, one of the cool things with this is it also supports cumulative updates. So throughout the life of configuration management, these cumulative updates, you've had to install them on your site server, and then it creates a package and program for you, and then deploy that package and program out to your collection of clients. With the latest releases, the R2 SP2 and the R2 SP1 and the 2012 SP2, they added support for cumulative updates, and that will be carried through here as well. And the top bullet there talks about the ability of setting a checkbox to say, go ahead and upgrade my clients, but don't upgrade any server-based operating system clients, only my Windows workstation-type clients. So you'll be able to do that if you want to test that as well. Preferred management points. So one of the reasons that customers today might implement secondary sites is that they want to control which management points clients are utilizing. And even though you can have up to 10 management points per site today, there's no ability really to lock down clients to those management points if you want remote locations. So you have to, a lot of people put in secondary sites to control the clients and those MPs. You no longer have to do that. You can now designate that you want clients to use preferred management points, and to create a preferred management point, you just add it to your boundary group, just like you add distribution points. And your clients will utilize any management points that are inside their boundary group, just like a DP, as their preferred MP. And those will rise to the top of what's called the MP list, the list of all the management points available. And they'll always try a preferred management point first, and then they'll filter their way down to find one that's available if their preferred ones aren't available. So that's very cool. And this is actually added in the 2012 SP2 release and 2012 R2 SP1 release. This was added there. So this will get carried through there for you. Now, I think I got three or four slides here on some OSD stuff. Again, a lot of this stuff was added in the current releases, the 2012 SP2 and the 2012 R2 SP1. So I'm going to try and fly through it fairly quickly for you so we can get moving on. So all standard deployment methods of Windows 10, so your wipe and load type scenarios, your refresh scenarios, your bare metal scenarios, all those are carried through. Now it does support in-console-based native in-place upgrades. So you have new task sequence wizard for in-place upgrades without having to download special code and scripts and stuff for Microsoft to do that, like you have to do today. It does require the Windows 10-based boot images to deploy Windows 10 images. So a boot image from Windows 10 to deploy a Windows 10 image. In the prior technical preview releases, TP1 and TP2, you could still utilize Windows 8.1 ADK for site installation. However, as of TP3, you have to have Windows 10 ADK installed in order to install TP3. And I'm sure that will be carried through to the RTM of the product. So you will have to have the Windows 10 ADK installed to really utilize the installation of ConfigMan vNext. The ADK for Windows 10 supports Windows 7 all the way up through Windows 10. So it's a much broader support than the prior releases of the ADK had. So one of the very cool things, and this is what I was talking about, the save your job type scenario, is notifications of risky deployments. So a risky deployment is defined as an operating system deployment, so a task sequence for OSD that's targeted as a required task sequence. Because required means it's not optional, it has to be implemented, and operating system deployment is kind of detrimental to the health of the client that you're deploying the task sequence to, because it's going to wipe out the hard drive and install a new image. So the computer's going to be out of working scenario for a period of time. So they've added a lot of user interface around these risky deployments. So one of the cool things is it automatically blocks the all systems collection. You've heard a couple years ago, somebody in Australia went ahead and set an OSD task sequence to the all systems collection, wiped out a whole bunch of stuff, including the CEO's laptop, And that's one of those resume generating events. So if you don't want to do that, then this technology will block those collections for you. So the only built-in collection you can use is the all unknown computers collection, which is there for bare metal client deployments anyway. So the only other way you can do a required task sequence deployment is to custom collections. So you have custom collections that you can target, but there's some built-in controls there where by default, it'll hide any collections that you have that have more than X number of members in them, and the default is 100. So any collection that has more than 100 clients in it, you don't see in the user interface to pick as a target collection for your task sequence. It also, by default, blocks any collections that have ConfigMan site systems in them. Now, you get to control the number of clients in that collection for your member list, and you can also tell it just to warn you if your collection has ConfigMan servers in it as opposed to fully blocking those. So a lot more controls now to help prevent you from accidentally re-imaging some systems that you don't want to. So that's very, very cool for you. And I'll show you how to look at those. A lot of updates in managing drivers, better capabilities for you to search and filter on driver imports to make sure you're getting the right type of drivers and not importing drivers that you don't really need. The ability of warning you if you're trying to install an x86 driver into an x64 boot image, because it doesn't make sense to do that, or actually blocks that, or it'll warn you saying, hey, this isn't a network or storage driver, so there's no reason to add this video driver or audio driver to your boot image. So it has a lot more user interface to allow you to control and monitor your drivers that you're trying to input. And a few other things like support for task sequences where you have software update deployments and those software updates have multiple reboots in them. It now tracks that successfully, and after the reboot, it'll pick up the task sequence where it left off and move on. Today, that's been a problem in prior releases, and now that's taken care of. Consistency in the number of SMSTS log files and the size of it throughout your task sequence deployment. Your logs might change between different scenarios or different stages in operating system deployment. Now you have one log file that you track through the entire process, so if you have problems, it's easier for product support to do your troubleshooting. New audit status messages. For example, if you go here on the bottom and it says you block collection with ConfigMan site systems in it, and you say, I still want to go ahead and deploy my task sequence to this collection even though it's got ConfigMan servers in it, it's going to go ahead and generate an audit status message until admins will know that it was Wally that did this and wiped out your ConfigMan site server. Support media support for task sequences greater than 32 gigabytes for USB sticks. And they just renamed the operating system installers node to operating system upgrade packages for Windows 10 upgrade stuff. Okay, on-premise MDM. So this allows you to manage Windows 10 devices currently. They're hoping they'll be able to add in iOS and Android devices in the future, but they're only guaranteeing right now for RTM Windows 10 devices, mobile as well as desktop, laptop type systems, that you can manage them as mobile devices on-premise without having to have those clients touch the cloud, so the Microsoft Intune cloud. Now, you will still have to have a Microsoft Intune extension or subscription, and that's to allow the site server, the site infrastructure, to get updates from the cloud. But your mobile devices would not have to talk to Microsoft Intune like they have to do today with the current 2012 releases. So on-premise controls over your mobile devices, all your client data stays local and not going up from the cloud. It's just some site infrastructure updates that would come down from the cloud. So very cool capabilities there for you. To do that, you have to have obviously a site server. You have to have a management point. That management point has to be configured as a device management point. Today, that's your management point really is in Microsoft Intune. So Microsoft Intune is your device management point. Now it's on-premise. You have to turn your MP into a device management point or create a new MP and designate it as a DMP. You have to update your distribution point to say it's going to allow mobile device support because, again, you're using on-premise stuff instead of the cloud-based distribution point that Microsoft Intune has for you. And then you have to install an enrollment server and an enrollment proxy point. So install those two roles. Now, in that first role, the enrollment server, it adds like three or four different roles in it. One of those is a specific certificate authority. This is not a certificate authority that you would know from Active Directory. It's a custom CA specifically designed for Configuration Manager for this one specific purpose. So it's custom certs that are created by Config Manager, controlled through this CA that you then get deployed to your mobile devices so they can be managed through this on-premise infrastructure. It does not support any PKI or Active Directory-based certificate authorities today. They might implement that going forward, but as of today, it's this special certificate authority there. But that's it for your on-premise environment. Then your Microsoft Intune extension or subscription so you can get those extensions down from the cloud. Okay, sideloading Windows 10 apps. This just allows you to install apps from a DP instead of getting them from a store. And you have that capability today for your other platforms, Windows 8.1 and lower. So just now going from Windows 10 devices. So there's a couple things you have to do in your infrastructure to configure that. You have to provision the certificate on your clients that was used that cert was used to sign your app. That has to be provisioned on your clients. And there's a client setting you have to turn on to allow clients to allow side loading of apps. And then you just create your app, you deploy your app, you monitor that app deployment as you normally would any other application or package program that you would do. So very easy. Now this is a very cool feature called the Windows PE Pure Cache. So traditionally in an operating system deployment scenario, what happens is you boot up into WinPE, your client needs a boot image, it needs a Windows image file, it needs some applications, it needs some drivers, it needs some software updates, and it goes to your distribution point to download those. So that's going to happen. So the first guy that's in WinPE is going to go and get all these things from the distribution point. But once you've enabled this feature, what that allows is you can tell the client, once you've downloaded this content, store it in the ConfigMan client cache, and other clients in WinPE mode, when they need this content, they can pull this content from another ConfigMan client that downloaded it when they were in WinPE. So that would save additional clients from having to go up to the DP to download this content. Now, if the DP is local, it's not going to be any different than getting it from a WinPE client or Pure Cache as opposed to your DP. But if your DP is across a WAN link, which is very common, this is kind of like the pull DP scenario where you have one guy downloads it and it shares it with everybody else, kind of like branch cache. So very, very cool capabilities there. So it's for WinPE through OSD, getting content that's already been downloaded by some other client. You have to turn this on as a site setting and then configure the task sequence to maintain this content in the ConfigMan client cache. And then it's available for anybody else. They just do a broadcast and the DP points them over to this Pure Cache that's been configured. Some Windows 10 mobile device support. Now support Windows 10 desktops as mobile devices. So if you want to treat your Windows 10 platforms, all of them, as mobile devices instead of on-premise ConfigMan clients, you can do that. Personally, I would make them ConfigMan clients. You got more capabilities than you do with mobile devices, such as OSD and better application support. But if you want all your Windows 10 devices to be treated as mobiles, you can do that now. You can also bulk enroll your corporate-owned Windows 10 devices. So today, in a mobile device scenario, each individual user has to go in there and enroll their own mobile device. And it's kind of a pain to do that, tell or configure your work with your end users to get them to configure that or bulk enroll or individually enroll their devices. Now you can do a bulk enrollment process. So you create a profile in Configuration Manager, you export that profile package, then you use a utility, go ahead and install that automatically on those client computers to bulk enroll them. So makes it easier for end user provisioning if you're going to do that for Windows 10. And again, they're hoping to expand this on-premise MDM stuff beyond Windows 10, Windows Phone 10 in the future, but right now those are the two platforms supported. Okay, cluster-aware patching. This is a kind of a cool thing. Been asked for a long period of time. Got just under half an hour, so we're good. So the customers have wanted the ability of doing patch configuration and support of clustered scenarios. And Config Manager has never done that before. It's treated a clustered system just like any other system, and if it's in the collection that you target your software updates to, hey, it's going to go ahead and apply those updates. Now, this is something new as in TP3. You're going to be able to designate a collection as a clustered collection. So put all of your clustered systems in this collection, designated as a clustered collection, and then you'll have some settings on there to designate what percentage of your clustered systems you want to have being allowed to be patched at the same time. You can then designate a pre-install and a post-install script to hear some actions that you might want to do. Maybe it's backing up something, or maybe shutting down some services and then restarting them after your systems been brought back up. In later releases, you'll also be able to designate the order of your systems that you want to have shut down. So you can say, I want this system shut down first, then this shut down, then computer 3, then computer 4. In the current TP3, it's just a percentage of computers you want to be able to have patched at the same time. And in future builds, you'll be able to order those as you want to. But it gives you better capabilities for managing clustered systems. So the ConfigMan team, which is really a client-based team, is starting to delve more into some of those data center scenarios, which is one of these scenarios here. SQL Server always on support. All the rest of System Center supported it for quite a while now. ConfigMan never has supported it. They'd never tested it. And I'd heard from customers that tried to utilize it that it failed miserably on them. So it was not a good scenario. So you actually now have SQL Server always on availability group support as of TP3. So you have to go into SQL Server and create your availability group there. You can have up to one primary and a couple secondary replicas in that availability group. You designate an endpoint for it. And then as you install your site, instead of designating the SQL Server in a named instance, you designate the endpoint that you have for this availability group, and the site will install there. There's no support for switching from a locally installed SQL Server into an availability group. You configure this at site installation time, and you have to pre-create all the SQL Server availability group configuration first, and then just tell it that during your site installation. And that's, again, available as of TP3. You can start playing around with that and testing it out. And then I think this is the last slide before we get into some demo stuff. Some additional Windows 10 support things that were added very recently. So deployment of Windows Business Store apps. So this allows you to bulk purchase apps from the Windows Store and have them deployed through Configuration Manager without requiring your end users to go to the Windows Store to install them on their own. So some volume purchase type stuff that the ConfigMan team's starting to get into Windows Store, and they're also working on stuff for the App Store. App deployment to on-premise MDM clients. So you saw that in one of the previous slides. You can start doing some software distribution to your on-premise MDM clients. So it's getting better there. Some software distribution of MSI files and to user targeting systems. Some additional client settings related to Windows 10, you can deploy those. Better support for in-place upgrade. So there were some issues with the current TPs, technical previews, with in-place upgrade stuff, so they got some of those bugs fixed. And then full bulk enrollment support. In the TP2, where they started that, it didn't complete the scenario. Now they got the scenario completed, so you can do some bulk enrollment stuff there. Okay, let's go ahead and look at some of the stuff in ConfigMan vNext. So I've got the TP3 build, so the stuff that came out last week. I've got it installed in my lab environment here. So the first thing that you'll notice is that the console looks extremely similar to what you know today from ConfigMan 2012, which is very good. You guys all know when you went from ConfigMan 2007 to ConfigMan 2012, you were lost on where things were. The product group, when I was there, we moved a lot of stuff around in the different nodes and different locations and different menus and so on. So it took a long time to find out where you did your old stuff. The new console is almost exactly the same as the current console that you have. So it'll be very easy for you to do your in-place upgrade and transition to the new console. So just to show you, I'll drop down and go to About Config Manager and zoom in for you. And it just says ConfigMan Technical Preview. It doesn't even have vNext in there, but it just says Configuration Manager Technical Preview. And this is TP3, so the most current release that came out August 19th, so a week ago. All right, so you can see here I've got some clients installed, and I've got 5 clients installed, which is the current build of the product. So that's all cool. In your Assets and Compliance workspace, a couple of things there that have changed that would be of importance to you. You notice at the bottom you have this new node called All Corporate Owned Devices. So they're now starting to help you track mobile devices that are end-user owned versus company-owned. And you can do some different things with company-owned devices because you own them, as opposed to devices that end users would bring on their own phone that they roll, or their own iPad that they roll. You have less flexibility for implementing controls on them. So if we were to expand this, it's got iOS, and then it's got Windows, and you can see you have the ability of creating some profiles here and some device information. So the profiles are for bulk enrollment scenarios, and then device information for some additional settings you can deploy to company-owned devices as well. If I go to my collections node, I have a custom collection here called ConfigMan Clients. And oops, sorry, zoomed in and locked it too quick. You can see it has five clients in it. That'll be important for you in another scenario I'll show you. But if I take this collection, if I right-click on it, I go to the collection properties. Now there's a new checkbox here right in the middle of my collection properties that says this is a clustered collection. So this is a collection of clustered systems. So if I want to implement that cluster patching scenario, I would click the checkbox and then click settings. And now this allows me to designate what percentage of my members of this collection do I want to have go offline at the same time. And by default, it says you can take 50% of them. It rounds down, so 51% is going to round that down to basically 50% of my clients, and I can change that percentage value if I want to. And then right now it's not implemented, but this is where you'd be able to designate the order of these systems. I want server 1, then server 3, then server 7, then server 2 in the order of how I want them to be taken down and patched. But it's not there in TP3, but you see the UI is there for it. And then down below, you have your pre-patch script and your post-patch scripts. And these are PowerShell scripts that you can implement to do custom actions like, you know, shutting down services or doing some backup or whatever you need to do there. And then you just deploy patches as you normally would. And when the deployment comes to this collection of clients, it's going to go ahead and implement these clustered scenarios and take down whatever percentage you told it to, and first run the drain script, and then do the patching, and then run the resume script. So very, very cool capabilities there. If I go to the administration node, not much really there for you, other than if I go to sites, you can see the build number again, 8287, so that's TP3. But if I go up here to hierarchy settings, and then I go to client upgrade, in the current built version of the product, this is called automatic client upgrades. They've now been changed to client upgrade. So if I go to the client upgrade node, the top half of this dialog is what you're familiar with today. This is your automatic client upgrade feature. Turn on automatic client upgrades, tell it how many days is my deadline before my clients upgrade, and so on. And you see there's a checkbox here. Let me go ahead and click that so it highlights for you. You got this new checkbox that was added recently called Do Not Upgrade Servers. So if I enable that, it can automatically upgrade all my clients that are running Windows Workstation OSs, but not anything that's running a Windows Server OS. And then I would do a manual process or software distribution deployment there, because some people want to have more control over when their servers get upgraded as opposed to clients. Now, there are no reboots required as far as a Configuration Manager client upgrade, so you shouldn't have to worry about that, but some people are a little more conscious of their server upgrade scenario. So you have that. The bottom half is what I want to show you, though, and this is that pre-production client deployment. So that's the bottom half of the dialog. So what you would do here is designate that you want to do pre-production deployment. You would browse to the collection that you want to have as your pre-production collection. And what this does is when there's a new build of Configuration Manager, it downloads that new client version, whether it's a cumulative update or a full client release, downloads it to a special location. You then turn on this feature. It then deploys that new client build from that custom location to this custom client collection. You do your monitoring, and then when you're all done and satisfied, you just click this button here that says promote. And that promotes this from that pre-production collection or pre-production location up to your full location that you would use for the full client deployment for everybody. So it lets you just test out client deployments with built with this new version of code. And when you're ready, you say, hey, make it available to everybody. So let me go ahead and turn that on for you. There's no new build to show you, but I can go ahead and turn it on and then do a browse for my collection. I'll take my custom collection. And now if there were any new build of Config Manager, it would download it and it would automatically deploy it to that custom collection of clients. Now when I've got this turned on, and I'll go ahead and turn it on, how you do your monitoring is in the monitoring workspace. You would go to client status, where you go look at client activity levels, where you look at client health levels. But now you have these two new nodes here for production client deployment status and pre-production client deployment status. So what's the status of my deployments of my production client as well as any pre-production testing I'm doing? So you can see in the production client deployment status, I'm all green or really dark green, which says I'm in compliant mode. So production client, I've only got one version of it there. It's all good to go. Pre-production client deployment is now enabled, but I have no status because I haven't done anything. So I don't have any new build to show yet here. They'll implement this as they go forward and have some upgradable code. But this is where you go track this. And once you see this is all compliant and no errors, then you go back to the UI, click the promote button, and it promotes that client version up to your production client version. So this allows you to do some automated testing there, which is very cool. Okay, another thing let's go look at is, let's go to operating system deployment. There's a lot of cool things there we can look at. If we go to OSD, first thing is drivers. So I went ahead and started driver import because it takes a while to get here. But you notice that by default, it shows you your path for your drivers now in the current ConfigMan 2012 releases, well, prior to SP2 and R2 SP1, that path was down in your list of drivers down here. So it was really hard to find your driver name because you had the really long path where all your drivers were. So now they moved that out of the way. Automatically, it's set to hide drivers that aren't digitally signed. And you can also tell it to hide drivers that stores your network class drivers. So here it shows you in the UI, it shows you the class. It's a network driver, it's a video driver, audio, whatever it is. It shows you the architecture, 64-bit versus 32-bit, and whether it's signed or not in the driver version. So if I go ahead and I can go ahead and do a filter here, I can filter on x86. And now it filters down to only drivers that have x86 in the architecture. So it removes any that aren't at least x86. I can go ahead and turn off that signed ones, and I don't remember if there's any in here that are not signed. Yeah, I got the very bottom one, it's not signed. So it'll display that for you. If I turn off any that aren't network drivers or storage drivers, then that should reduce the set as well. So it remove some of those that aren't applicable for boot images, for example. But let me go ahead and turn that on. The other way around. And let me go ahead and click Next. And I'll just leave my package for now. I'm going to add to boot image. So now let me go ahead and just take my x86 boot image, click Next, and I get this warning saying, hey, I've got some drivers here that don't make sense to be added in. So I got drivers that just aren't proper for boot images. I want to go ahead and do that anyway. Now I get a warning saying, hey, bud, you're trying to add an X64 driver to an X86 boot image, which doesn't make any sense at all. So it's not going to let me continue this process. So it saves me bloating my boot images with drivers that don't make sense because they're not network drivers, they're not storage drivers, which is that previous the warning message. This one is saying, don't bloat by adding drivers that aren't applicable for the architecture. So a lot of cool things there for importing drivers for management as well as getting them into your boot images. And the same scenarios here would take place once I've imported all these drivers and then I try and add them to a boot image after the fact. It would give me those same type of warning scenarios. So a lot of great capabilities there to help manage your drivers better. Here you see the operating system upgrade packages node. This is for in-place upgrades of Windows 10. So if I want to do an in-place upgrade from Windows 7 to Windows 10, I just point this to the source files for Windows 10, like the ISO that you would download and extract out all the files from there. Now, if I want to deploy this, I would go to Task Sequences, and you would create a task sequence. Let me show you that menu. There's a new menu option here. for upgrade an existing or upgrade an operating system from an upgrade package. So that's a new task sequence step that allows me to do that in-place upgrade. So that's built into the console now. I went ahead and ran that, and this is the task sequence that it created. If you do an edit on it, you can see this task sequence is way smaller than a normal task sequence for deploying an operating system. So many fewer steps that you have to go through because a lot of that stuff is built into the upgrade process for Windows 10. So I don't have to worry as much about doing a lot of extra lifting inside the task sequence. So here you can see there's really three steps there: check for readiness, upgrade the OS, and restart computer. If I go to my full task sequence for installing Windows 10 that I created, there's a whole lot more stuff involved in doing a full deployment of Windows 10 as opposed to an in-place upgrade. And this is a really small task sequence for deploying an operating system. Normally, they're way longer than that because you're installing apps and software updates and so on. And then there's that editor for the built-in stuff. So now let me go ahead and take this task sequence I have here for installing Windows 10. I'm going to go ahead and deploy it. So I'm going to go ahead and click Deploy. I'm going to go to click on Collection, and I get this warning message saying, hey, installing that task sequence looks to be a high-risk deployment because you're deploying a task sequence, and task sequence is obviously fairly detrimental in an operating system deployment scenario because you're going to be wiping out computers. So just verifying that I know what I'm doing, and I'll lie and I'll say, okay. And now here's my collections. The only collection I can pick from right now is all unknown computers. It automatically blocks all systems, all mobile devices, which you can't deploy OSD to anyway, and then all desktop and server clients. Those are blocked out. I cannot deploy task sequences for OSD to those collections. Well, remember I had that one collection called Config Man Clients, and it had five members in it. Up here at the top, there is a message that says, by default, hide collections with member count greater than the site's minimum site configuration, which is set to 3. So I dropped this down to 3, so it's hiding that collection because it had 5 members in it. So now if I clear that, then that collection appears, and now I can select that collection if I want to. And I'll go back and I'll show you in a minute where you set those properties. So let me go ahead and pick that collection. I'll click OK. I'm going to that collection. I'm going to make this a required task sequence, which what really makes it a high-risk scenario. And I'll click Next. And I get this dialog that pops up, and it says, hey, this is a high-risk deployment. It's high-risk because it is required, and it contains more than 3 resources, which is my default configuration. It contains computers that run server-based OSs, and it contains ConfigMan client or ConfigMan site systems in it. And it's verifying, do I really want to proceed with this high-risk deployment? And I have this checkbox down at the bottom say, yes, I want to create this. But notice here, it says create an audit status message. So people are going to know that it was Wally that re-imaged that ConfigMan site server or some other role. So you can't hide that. So I have to click the OK button, and now I can go on and complete my task sequence. So we're trying to help save you from shooting yourself in the foot. It's very common. You hear it all the time about people. Email gets lost, and it's because somebody re-imaged. They deployed a Windows 7 image on top of their Exchange server. Well, this helps you prevent some of that from happening. Now, where you set some of those parameters is back in the administration space. Go to your site and go to the site properties. And there's a new tab here called Deployment Verification. So go to the Deployment Verification tab, and here's where you can set your maximum size collection or minimum size collection. It's got to have at least this, if it has any less than this number, any more than this number of collection or clients in it, members, don't deploy it. Don't display it automatically. And the default here was 100. So the default value there was 100. I dropped it down to 3 because my collection only had 5 members in it. And then down at the bottom is where it says collection with site systems in it. And the default is block. So it would not have let me choose ConfigMan Clients Collection because of the fact that it had my site server in it. So I went ahead and changed that to a warning so you could see the warning message. Otherwise, it would have just blocked it, kind of like that trying to add the X64 driver to the X64 image. It said you can't do it. It wouldn't let me deploy to that collection if I had not changed this scenario. So you get to change these two properties in here and control how effective your OSD is as far as limitations. Now, honestly, this stuff is added to the current release of the product as well. So 2012 SP2 and 2012 R2 SP1 has the same high-risk deployment stuff for OSD in it and these same parameters. So if you're not already up on that version of the product, highly recommended that you go ahead and upgrade to 2012 SP2 or 2012 R2 SP1 so you get the safeguards in OSD scenarios. So that's kind of cool to look at. A couple other things here. We're just about out of time here. Just got a couple of minutes left. Is if you go to client settings, go to properties of client settings. If I go to software distribution, here's that one option to allow you to do installing APEX applications. So this is for doing your side loading of apps for Windows 10 devices. Down at the bottom, you have this Windows PE Pure Cache node. And if I go here and turn this onto a yes and accept the dialog, it now enables that Pure Cache scenario. So now it would allow my first client in OSD, WinPE, to download content from the DP, store it locally in ConfigMan Client Cache, and save that for other clients in OSD scenarios coming forward. So you have to turn that on here and then update your task sequence to do that. Most of the rest of your parameters here are the same for configuration. Now, if I go to cloud services, here's that extensions for Microsoft Intune, which is what's in the product today for allowing you to get new updates for mobile devices from the cloud. But the new stuff is updated in servicing. That's the new capabilities of allowing you to update your on-premise ConfigMan infrastructure, your site server and DPs and so on, with new ConfigMan updates with a kind of a slipstream or inline scenario without having to apply service packs. So what would happen here is when there was something new, you would get a notification in when you launched the admin console that says, hey, there's new updates for Config Manager. You would go here and you'd look at these and it would show you any new updates. You go to features, it would tell you any new features that are being implemented. You can pick that update you want, right click it and say download and install. And then it would go ahead and implement it automatically for you in your infrastructure. If you don't want it, you just say don't download it and don't install it, and it won't get downloaded to your environment nor installed. And so you can pick and choose which inline updates that you want to implement. So much easier and faster and efficient way of keeping your on-premise infrastructure up to date without having to wait for those quarterly cumulative updates or yearly or however often it is service packs coming out in the future. Trying to think if there's anything else I can show you guys that would be worthwhile in the last minute I have, the last couple of minutes. Migration hasn't changed. Software library, we looked at the stuff there. Oh, ADRs. I don't have an ADR here, but in software library now, I don't have any software updates implemented here, but once you create an automatic deployment rule, so I'll just call it test, and I'll just pull in a template here for, there's a new template here for camp updates. That's for your endpoint protection updates, your definitions themselves, the engine. It's a new version of endpoint protection. And I'll take my ConfigMan clients collection. So once I go ahead and create one of these template or ADRs, which I don't have any updates in here, but you'll now be able to, let me just cruise through the wizard here, and you'll be able to download your updates and then put them in a package. Updates, and I'll just tell it to go to primary $C updates, just to complete this. And, it doesn't have the path there, okay. I have to create the path there. But I'll be able to create multiple different deployments for a single ADR. In the past, you couldn't do that. I'd have to create it and then create the deployments after the fact. But you are able to create new deployments for your multiple deployments for your ADR that you have. Application stuff, there's some new things in apps, but primarily there's some application management policies to allow you to control your applications, like whitelisting and blacklisting type stuff will be coming out. But there's some updates in supersedence of applications to fix some problems with that. A lot of updates in content as far as controlling distribution points and checkpoint restarts and some of the things around that are current problems in the product. So a lot of cool things there that are happening. The rest of your monitoring stuff is pretty much the same outside of the two new nodes that you have here for your production and pre-production client deployment. And your site servicing status, this is for those inline updates of your infrastructure. You have a new node there so you can track and see what the status is as those from cloud-based down to your site server to get update your servicing, look at the servicing status of those updates that get pulled down. So anyway, that's a quick look at the things that are coming in vNext. Oh, I got, let's take it back. I got another couple of slides there. So before we end, a couple more slides for you. Another thing that I've seen that's coming that's not there yet is there'll be official support for using task sequences outside of OSD. Everybody does it today, but officially it's not supported by the product group to use a task sequence for deploying applications outside of OSD. Now you'll have official support. The product group's going to test OSD they're going to test task sequences for those non-OSD scenarios as well. So you have documentation that will tell you exactly which scenarios the product group is supporting for task sequencing outside of operating system deployment stuff. So with that, that's what we covered in the session. So hopefully you saw a lot of cool things that are coming in the vNext product. To get prepared, you want to be on one of the current releases, so 2012 SP2 or 2012 R2 SP1, and then you can do your in-place upgrade to the next release. If you're still on 2007, it's a migration process you can go ahead and do. So a lot of great things in there that would hopefully incent you to want to be ready to go to vNext when it comes out. They are still stating they're hoping to have it out by the end of this year, so hopefully fairly soon we should see the official beta coming out and an official product name outside of vNext. But hopefully you saw a lot of great things there and you'll be looking forward to that product. So thanks to our sponsors for the session and the conference. And go ahead and fill out your provide your feedback back to these guys. They greatly appreciate hearing back from you guys and how you like the sessions and the conference and so on. With that, it is lunchtime, so thank you all for attending. If you have any other questions or want to see something else, come on up here and I'll hang around for a while and answer anything I can answer. Things will change, so some of the stuff I told you, because it's all pre-release code, there's always a chance something's not going to wind up being there. And there's always a chance that new things are going to come that we don't know about yet. But this is the way it sits today and where it's expected to go in the future. With that, thanks all. Have a great rest of your day and conference. Appreciate it.